nice. We have that Telegram for jobs, and so it would be nice if someone signs up for Proposal Tracker. My friend of Spottingham got more busy doing stuff, and
I guess I'm busy as well.
I guess since now we don't have too many proposals, it's not a big deal. Someone can just like eventually write it all down, but it'll be good to keep that updated so it's less work for whenever it gets restarted eventually. I guess there is a new proposal, the Dow Investment Fund. I actually have to read that right now. Okay, I see. So the Proposal 84, creation of the DAO Investment Fund, the way it's structured is basically to convert EFX into other tokens to have kind of like a pool instead of just purely EFX for DAO resources.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think it would be good for stable coins, but I'm not sure about investing. Well, my opinion is we may want EOS and also stable coins. Like, we may want EOS in the case that it gets, because we're going to need it to subsidize transactions in the case of, like, you know, if EOS gets really expensive, it would be nice to have like some sort of DAO system, sort of like EOS PowerUp, but only for DAO members, so that way they can always, you know, do transactions without having to worry about, you know, the cost of it. And then for stable coins, maybe good, like, in times of volatility, if, like, you know, it's preferable to have, like, stable coins ready for a reward for a hackathon if EFX is going up and down, like, too much. But in the proposal, it's kind of like more speculative stuff too, but I'm like not really for too much speculation because like EFX itself is the speculation in my opinion. But maybe like the core, like the tokens related to the network would be EOS and BNB, right? So maybe some of that and some stable coins. But yeah, this is something that merits a lot of discussion.
I also feel
what do you feel you should cut out there?
I just started a stage channel. It may be just easier to go in there. You guys, I'm sorry. You guys should all, DAO members should all be able to go ahead and speak automatically. So let's try that if you guys don't mind. Because I don't know what is going on with this voice channel. We should see it in the list just above this voice channel here. Now I started it. Are we good?
Seth, you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, make sure in the settings to change it back to voice activity if you set it to push to talk.
There we go. This is probably a lot better.
Yeah, indeed.
Sorry.
I accidentally exited as well, and when I got back in, apparently I didn't have permission anymore to speak, so... But yeah, shall we just continue then?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying something.
Yeah, indeed. Like, I also agree with Rochelle that I don't really feel that this is what the DAO was intended for, like, and the funds in order to start investing in other projects. And it's not an investment fund for speculation. But I do like your idea of using stable coins in the DAO instead of like keeping everything in EFX or to be able to have like a little bit of stability for medium
like another. Sorry, interrupt you. I'm thinking like what if like maybe more like an insurance fund or like a reserves, like yeah. I agree too, like I don't necessarily think we should use it for investing, but I think it would be useful to have reserves in some other currencies.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Are there stable coins on the EOS?
The only one I know is by the Nudex, what was it called? I think like
isn't it EUSDT? And hi, by the way, to the team. By the way, second time, I have seen the advertisement on EOS Pyo Power Up for the Effect Hackathon, and I'm really happy to see this.
Oh yeah, the USDT is also on EOS. I was thinking of USN, but yeah, USDT is on EOS.
Yeah, I guess it's called EUSDT then. I'm not 100% sure.
My thing with this is, what I take issue with is just for purely investment and making money and kind of, you know, trading with assets from the DAO funds, I think they should be better used to further the network or something like that instead of just using DAO funds to do speculative trading. Now, DJ, you brought up the good point of if we do it in a stable coin and then that can, those, as long as what's made for profit on those, you know, or used for reserves for DAO stuff, I like that idea. But just for speculative trading, I mean, people can do that with their own funds.
The other thing is, we don't want to delegate this position because if they screw up, I mean, they're going to be hated. And we try to get, you know, a majority vote. I find it hard to get a majority vote on anything in regards to converting it. Because like, everyone's going to have a different opinion what's a good thing to get, unless it's like something really, really simple and like, maybe if we get a majority vote for EOS or BNB, but aside from that, I think, I think it kind of go out of the way of what we intend to do with the DAO of Treasury.
Yeah, I don't know how it would benefit the network.
But we could also use, like...
One other potential thing is doing NFX buybacks and then using the NFX as a potential reward for hackathons.
I like that idea.
To stimulate more people to participate with DAO activities.
Yeah. You really can't do anything in the DAO without NFX.
Yeah, good point.
So having a lot of EFX is wonderful, but If they really want them to be encouraged to be part of the governance, they need to have NFX. So I like that idea. I think I'm excited. You can hear me now. Nightmare. For me, investing in any coin using DAO money or leftover fees or whatever it is from the budget, it's like people at work getting together and putting work money into a lottery fund and then everyone benefiting if the lottery happens to win, rather than putting your own personal money into a pool.
The only issue that we worry about is the whole, what is the bureaucratic side of things? Like, what would the DAO entity be? And would, if it has, like, because right now it just has EFX, right, that it had since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
And then it redistributes, like, it's, so like, how does that work? Like, if, like, say, if they were to buy, DAO buys BNB, and then trades it at some point, is there, like, is that taxable? Like, how would that work?
I don't think the DAO has the capabilities at the moment to be able to hold coins and other tokens, but, or maybe like try to bridge the tokens onto the EOS token, and that way try to incorporate some kind of mechanism within the smart contracts to be able to hold tokens of that kind. But that's why I'm asking if there's stable coins on EOS, because I assume that then like the smart contract accounts can hold those tokens.
Seems to me EOS itself right now seems to be a bit of a stable coin. Yeah, I thought they had a USD kind of equivalent.
Yeah, indeed, it's called USDT. No, if you believe their side, they're the number one decentralized stable currency on EOS. But that would be an interesting project to look into. Like, I also see that they're using P tokens at the moment. So, I think the DAO might potentially be able to work quite well and interoperate with it quite well. But I'm not sure about BNB.
Oh, I see. Then yeah, I imagine like we would need to like program some sort of like automatic buy or something, or would we have a custodian do it?
I don't know. Those are good questions.
I just think that whole thing is a ripe opportunity for people to pick it apart and be nasty about it. No, if it, even if it's successful, then why isn't it as successful as it could be? You know, just, I don't know. If it's something good, people are just going to pick it apart. If it's bad, then it's going to be like a nuclear bomb.
There's also intent, right? Like, everything we do should, at the end of the day, be toward benefiting the network somehow. So if the intent is to build up a fund of something through investments, which are risky. I mean, crypto is one of the more risky investments I've ever done in my life. Even stable, fairly stable coins. I don't know. There's pros to this. Like, in some ways, it seems like a really good idea. In other ways, I can pick it apart and wonder if it's worth pursuing.
Talking about USDT or pegged to a stable coin. Like, what's the purpose? Why?
This is, we're talking about a proposal that's pending. Hey, Bri, you got a lot of background noise. Can you mute it?
A proposal to invest in some sort of USDT coin or have assets in USDT or stablecoin?
The proposal is less specific. It's more like a general thing, like having an investment fund. I'm just talking about what if we were to do it, like, what would we want, you know, other potential things?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, the DAO isn't set up for, I mean, in my opinion, for an investment type of role to hold funds invested doing this. There's too much accountability stuff and who's doing what. Who to blame when we lose it all or whatever, like Bree and Michelle, or Michelle, sorry, Michelle. Like Bree and Michelle were saying, I mean, which the funds are there to incorporate and promote growth on the network. Like, it seems like we're bouncing all over the place to try to find something to make this work when really it's nothing's changed from day one on how to make this work. We just have to promote the network, grow the network, get people to build on the network, and, you know, let it go from there and see what mass adoption looks like.
Well, yeah, so, like, I agree with that. So the only reason I see an advantage for it is for, like, two projects. First is, if in the future we want to have, an EOS power-up type thing, or DAO member specifically, so, like, that requires some EOS, right? And then the other thing is if we want to have, like, not just EFX as a reward for a hackathon, so perhaps a stablecoin reward or NFX. But yeah, like, I agree, it's like the community can be very critical, so I don't think anyone really want to take up the role, and if someone does, I think you don't necessarily want to, I'll be skeptical too, so.
I mean, if there's something went wrong with the project, once we're established and we have policies and procedures in place that are actually working and people are getting involved, like, that would be something to approach them. And that would be, you know, something to make happen. But, you know, if I don't.
Yeah, I like your two ideas, DJ, about a DAO member power up feature. And then, too, like, with NFX, like, if the DAO could just start making small buys of NFX, and then later we implement like a scholarship program, you know, that we could award NFX to for people seeking XYZ. I don't know. That's something that could be built out. Like, or not a scholarship, like a grant.
Grant or something.
Yeah.
It'd be a grant.
Those are two brilliant ideas.
Yeah, I like the redistribution of NFX type thing, because right now our current environment and who is holding NFX really isn't involved. I mean, you got the big holders and you got all the rest of it distributed out to whoever. And the biggest thing for DAO community is obviously to onboard people, to have them put some skin in the game and wanting to join is, hey, you know, I want to be able to be involved in the voting and have that process. Now they have to have NFX, right? But there is no more NFX to buy it. Unless you buy it from somebody that already has it.
Well, you can still get it on DeFi Box.
Well, yeah, it's still traded and everything, but what I'm saying is that no more is being created, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Well, yeah, if there's a buyback, it'll encourage people to, you know, sell NFX, and that NFX then could be a reward for people to... Because the idea is, like, the people who, you know, have top placements in the hackathon, I would assume they're very interested in, you know, the FX network, and having them onboarded as a member of the DAO would be very nice.
Yes.
And so that's like the benefit of having these types of rewards.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just think the current participation from the community for EFX, you know, it's not there. It's just, you got a bunch of, you know, I'm not going to be malicious or anything, but you've got people that are in there just, you know, hey, throw me back a 10 times, you know, ROI. That's all they're looking for. holding all this stuff that they don't really know what to do with. They don't want to get involved with it. So there's all these hundreds of thousands of NFX out there being utilized for nothing, really. You know, it's just kind of sitting there because these people aren't getting involved.
Well, I think everyone is voting, but yeah, like,
the original investors are people who participated in the Effect Network was basically vaporware at that moment, right?
Yeah, the ICO.
So it's only now, like, and it's still it's just in beta, right, where we're kind of transitioning to where Effect Network is this decentralized, like, workforce API toolkit,
mm-hmm.
and we want to onboard, you know, the developers, people who can use it. So, yeah, I think it'll be useful to have and effects as a reward, and I think we're all just agreeing with each other, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
On this, I do have a question.
Yeah, it's great we agree with each other. Absolutely.
On this aspect, I do have a question for David. Could... You know how you can land... I'm echoing here super bad. You know how you can lend resources to an account, you know, with EOS? Could a smart contract be built to lend NFX to a certain wallet for a certain amount of time and then take it back so that they could use that to participate in the DAO, but like on a temporary basis?
That depends on how NFX is different from the protocol behind it. But yes, different things can be put on a... who's this? Was this for David? Sorry.
No, like, please.
Okay.
I don't have that much experience building EOS smart contracts, so your input is more than welcome.
Yeah, no, there's definitely time-sensitive smart contracts that will execute according to time. You can execute contracts according to indexes of a certain event or a percentage of something, but time is definitely one of those ones you can say, hey, you know, we're going to rent these NFX out for 6 months, 3 months, you know, to whoever, so somebody can get involved in the DAO and, you know, make some contributions. But that also depends on how the protocol and NFX was written, so that would be a question for Jesse.
Well, like, in regards to Phi, I'm pretty sure you could already do it. Like, you just have someone has to stake the NFX on a lending protocol.
Well, yeah, it's fairly simple. But then you got the underlying, you got different little nuances of blockchain code and executions of signatures and stuff like that for time frames. So I don't know how NFX was set up like that. I don't know if that's something that could be implemented. I don't know.
Well, it's based on my assumption that, like, because I know there's Compound. Have you ever used Compound on the Ethereum?
Yeah.
Like, I assume, like, because EOS always has, like, some knockoff of popular Ethereum stuff. I'm pretty sure there's, like, some version of that on EOS. And, like, all you would need to do is stake some EOS token and then you have to just pay interest on it. But yeah, like the time, I don't know about the timing. Like, yeah, it's tricky because all you have is blocks, right? But you can't really predict the time, like when one block will be, so.
No, well, you have an automatic self-executing block transaction, or once that time limit's up, you know, once the epoch time within digital realm and everything hits that, you know, that thing will already be counting down. Once it hits that time, boop, automatic execution of the contract, and it goes back.
Does EOS have an eternal clock?
It's all based off of, the IPFS. So it still goes to the, they don't have to have their own internal clock or anything. It can still just reference back to whatever.
Like an Oracle type thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, Lawrence or Jesse would definitely be the one to ask on that one. Like I said, I know a pretty deep amount on blockchain. I don't know how to code it, but I understand the processes and how it functions and interacts with everything else. So
I'll get an answer tomorrow directly from Jesse, and then I'll update, because now my curiosity is piqued with that.
Yeah, so like these kinds of features are like very available on Ethereum. Like they're very common. We have deployed contracts before that like does something similar. So, Jesse would know for sure like how to implement something like this on EOS.
Yeah.
But I do think it's within the realm of possibility to be able to do this, with this feature set.
What I'm really interested in is the SDK, this current hackathon, and how easy they are making it for developers and other users to implement their SDKs to build something quick and easy to place on the Effect network for an app. Because I've been looking around at some of these other chains and their integration and user interface is so smooth where it's easy to just go in and click this, do that, you know, and you refine and you've got yourself an NFT, or you've just set up a blockchain node, your own personal one. I think that's the next step for, you know, making software or SDK stuff is, you know, refining how easy it is for novice coders or even experienced coders to come on and instantly and intuitively start working that product and creating something. Because nobody wants to learn it for 3 months before they want to go into it. I mean, that's always an option, but nah, people are too impatient these days. They don't have a attention span past about a 7 second TikTok video.
Yeah, how's the hackathon going?
That's the plan, though, for the next one, right? To have the interface really smooth.
The SDK of the interface of the SDK itself is like relatively easy to work with. At the moment, we have it down to about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 function calls that you need to make in order to make your campaign and have your tasks online on the Effect Network front end. So it's there. It's relatively easy to work with at the moment. And it's based on like, so if you have basic JavaScript skills, you should be able to get up and running within 15 minutes. We also have some boilerplates for developers with lots of example codes so that people can use those examples like within their own projects, and they basically need to fill in their own tasks and design their own templates and make it their own.
Yeah, the example codes come in really handy for beginners and novices, where literally it just walks you through. It's like, all right, cut and paste this, and then in between this block and this block, this is your own specific personalized data. What do you want this to do, you know?
That's, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we're trying to make it easy because we know that copypasta is a very big part of all of this, and indeed, people don't have the patience to spend hours and hours and hours on an understanding the ins and outs of it. It needs to work easily by passing a couple of arguments and just calling a couple of functions.
Exactly.
But yeah, like besides that, we're pushing hard, like with the marketing, like we did the live events last week, and now it's just we've done the great unveiling, and now it's more of like really trying to get people to sign up. I think that's the biggest hurdle at the moment, trying to get people to sign up and to create the teams and really get some attention on this.
What is the current funnel for onboarding potential new users, developers, or clients? Like, if I was talking with some of my connections and let's say I've got an insurance company, whether it's current traditional or disruptor insurance company that is utilizing blockchain in an open market, what would be the current funnel of who do I navigate them to set them up with something so, you know, somebody can walk this potential onboarding customer or user through the process and how easy it is to set up and what task or how do they want to crowdsource their data and what are they looking for? What's that funnel look like?
Well, now that the SDK has been released in beta, while this hackathon is going on, a lot of us on the team and in the marketing department are creating all of the onboarding content and things for that funnel. Part of it relied on getting the SDK where it is now.
Okay.
So now that we know what the completed version will mostly look like, now we can start building out, you know, the automation as far as onboarding steps, all the materials. It's a lot of wording and a lot of graphics and a lot of things to create. So we're working really hard on that right now. In addition to this hackathon. So with the hackathon, though, that onboarding and funneling process is pretty easy. We're just trying to get our hackathon page in front of as many people as possible that are interested in this. So today, actually late last night, my time zone, our ad campaign started on EOS PowerUp. So if you guys go to EOSpowerup.io/free. You'll see our banner, and people can click on the banner, and it takes them straight to our DevPost page. So hopefully a lot of people who use EOS will be on that. Now that also, I got a list here. I'll pull up my email from Mr. Boyd. That Boyd. Also gets us, where is it? Open up my
email. Well, while you're pulling that up, how streamlined and how cost effective and efficient are your campaigns right now? Are they pretty good as far as?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Yep, we are. Now, with our ad campaign, we're also being listed our image and then like a 2-sentence thing about our hackathon and our project to entice, you know, like a call to action that's also being sent to everyone who uses the PowerUp Telegram bot. All of the on-chain actions that PowerUp uses, our info will be on that. So that's about 1,500 to 2,000 a day. The Boyd guy said about 500 people use PowerUp every day. And then they use the Telegram bot a little less, maybe about 400 people use that every day. And we're on Boyd's email list right now with that. So that is, I think I saw it on there when I spoke with him, it was like 11,000 some subscribers. So yeah, it's going out, and this is all EOS people, of course. So that's a big bonus, you know, to the advertising on PowerUp. So, but then, you know, there's places on Facebook, Reddit, LinkedIn. There's some Discord servers that we've targeted, things like that. So it's going. There's some influencers who all know about our hackathon now. But yeah, a lot of good stuff. So, you know, there's been new signups like every day. We're up to 53 right now. There's a lot of interaction that you don't see in the public space, you know, with the people who've signed up for our hackathon. I helped one girl try to get a hold of people to team up with. I spoke with one girl who has a team. She had some questions. It seems like more of the female participants reach out to me.
Females are motivated.
But I've interacted with a handful of people out of the 53 who signed up. And they've got great questions. They're very enthusiastic. So, yeah, just because people see only 53. I was actually contacted the other day by someone who hasn't even signed up yet, but the DevPost page is all public, you know, all of our links are all public. So there's people that are working on a project right now. They just haven't signed up to DevPost because they're super worried about, you know, people knowing or some of their stuff. So there's some people who are like really down low on the radar with it. So yeah, numbers, they're nice, but you can never really get the whole picture with numbers and things you see. So
now, yeah, you're right about that. Cool. If I start getting some high-level LinkedIn response and support and interaction and dialogue going, have you heard of the LinkedIn 100 that they're doing, Rochelle?
I think. Maybe. I've probably seen something.
Yeah, it's a brand-new pilot program they're doing where they're taking current industry and, you know, digital environment creators, and you know they're investing $25 million into that. You know, the money's not the point here, but they're actually getting involved in, you know, LinkedIn for professional creators and creating spaces for you know, content to be made within that. So LinkedIn is actually starting to get really involved in the NFT gaming esports creation scenario. So if I can start getting attention from that corporate side of LinkedIn, where would I funnel them to? Because they're going to want to talk to somebody. You know, I don't want to send people of this high level to a website and say, hey, figure it out, you know.
Feel free to funnel them directly to me.
Okay.
Because I could tell them, you know, all the things that they could do, you know, on Force first.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the more forward user-friendly stuff. And then they really get to where it's the nitty-gritty and the details. Then I can, you know, get them in touch with Jesse and Lawrence, who are busier for that kind of stuff. So the technical stuff, I can get them over to the right people. But, yeah.
Is your email Rochelle at effect.net?
Effect.ai. Yeah.
Oh, so the emails are still Effect.ai.
Yeah. But they can also email directly hello at effect.ai, because I'm in that every day too, making sure the right inquiries get to the right places. So either way, but yeah.
Stop it.
But if they don't want like a general email, you know, if they want something that's more personalized, that gives them the sense that a person will directly read this and respond to me, send them my way. Yeah.
Okay.
If they're developers, they're more than welcome to look at our GitHub. All of our code lives on GitHub. Most of it we've open sourced. The SDK is open sourced. Our contracts are open sourced. So that should also give a pretty good indication that like we have something solid here.
Yeah. So if they're wizards, send them to the GitHub and like Jesse and David and them. If they're not wizards, then send them my way.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know devs ain't got no problem jumping on there and setting some shit up. You know, the people that make the real decisions behind it all, they're obviously not too intellectually driven in this. They just want to, you know, they just want to know who they want to talk to, what can be done, how is it going to be effective, and all right, cool, I'll slap a bunch of money at it, and then the actual people that are smart that make it happen, you know, start the process, because crowdsourcing is getting pretty huge already, and there's some platforms that are marketed by LinkedIn, you know, like was it CrowdPlat, some of these other things like that. Like if, you know, we get a real decentralized workforce sponsored or whatever, you know, and a direct link and funneled from LinkedIn, that would be huge.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, indeed. But yeah, indeed, I can imagine that oftentimes, yeah, like just because development isn't necessarily correlated to money, and like, yeah, decisions do get made like by middle management and executives. So
yeah.
Which oftentimes don't have the same kind of knowledge. But yeah, no, that would be great if we can like get that kind of attention.
Okay, cool. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of stuff going on this week, so.
Because, like, our platform, it's, like, the perfect place for companies like Inatech, you know, when they need to digitize all their cover sheets for TPS reports. You know, our platform is the perfect thing for that. So, yep. And every company has a TPS report thing that they have to deal with that's boring.
It's even perfect for creators, you know. Like, if the creator realm is going to be huge. There's going to be a lot of that coming up. And, you know, like, you got a new creator on board, and then they don't have no brand logo, no nothing, you know, and they want somebody, they want to crowdsource and do some sort of concept and roll up and present to me, I need this built for my brand. This is what I want it to look like, so they can mint, you know, do some NFT stuff, they could, you know, digital art things, stuff like that, you know, and start developing all that.
Well, here's the thing, like, say I need some documents proofread or translated. Well, most people, they go to Fiverr to get it done. Yeah, oh, yeah, you can get it done cheap, you know, quick. But the reality is, you go to Fiverr, there's a bazillion people offering all their services. You don't know if they're really translators or if they're using, you know, a machine learning thing and then kind of winging it, you know. Quality, and then there's all different price points. And then if they accept it, and you got to talk with them and get it set up and everything, and it's an onboarding process. It's time consuming. It's a hassle. Or you put your stuff up on Effect Force, it gets done and sent back to you. No questions.
No questions, yeah. Automatically executed and you get what you want.
For the same price or less than what people are charging on on Fiverr. So
and a whole lot quicker probably too, I would assume.
Yeah, so like when people say, oh, it's like Fiverr, well, no, it's kind of like reverse Fiverr, but
yeah. Well, are you poking that at me? I said that.
You catch on. So, okay, what else do we have on the agenda? What's up next, Bree?
Sorry, I'm paying attention. I'm trying to write a few little quick notes on the agenda while you guys are talking.
The only other thing is a network hackathon proposal completing, I think. I mean, everyone accepts it, so.
Yeah.
The only question is, do you want to fund and not, like, prepare funding for the next one as well?
I think it's prudent to get started on it, but I think you were saying, well, let's just, like, condense and get it over with. But how much of an award mint or prize do we want? Do we want to double the prize we're giving now and attract bigger companies or bigger teams? Do we need to get started, like, the next proposal or the next cycle, or can it wait a few cycles?
I was wondering.
I would say we'll have a cost on it and how much the prize is. I would wait to see the result of this one. You know, and get some historical data, even though really...
Sorry, I gotta go. I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay. Well, if we wait too long, we might leave ourselves short on time to collect the prize pool.
Yeah.
What I was thinking...
I mean, I don't know if you can start other things to, you know, for the planning process, kind of like a planning in route, you know, you don't have that specific piece, you're saving it for last, but all the other things are getting planned and set up. I don't know if you can do something like that.
But I think at minimum, it would be prudent to have at least what we have now.
At least. So we can, I think it's safe to start preparing for a fund that at least matches the prize pool now. And then when we know more later, or maybe like you said, Larry, at the end, we can, the end of this one, we can determine how much more should be added to that fund.
But I don't think it would make any sense to have a prize pool any less than what the one currently is.
No, absolutely not.
No.
I
was thinking maybe since we've got some time, because this next one we're going to push it out. I'm hoping that it would be maybe summertime that we have the next one. Because that would give us a lot of time to really make it big. Because there's so much prep work that needs to happen, you know, in advance. I'm thinking we let a couple cycles pass so people can start getting more of the rewards because they've gotten pennies compared to before, you know, for a while. So we give them a little bit of a break, and then maybe each two-week cycle, you know how much we took now? Each one was, what, 160-some thousand, was it? Maybe in the beginning for the first couple cycles, we just take a quarter of that. Until we get a better idea, and then increase it more. So it's not so much of a shock to the system for some of these people that get big rewards. And then that will also lighten up for when other proposals are up as well that have, you know, large asks.
Yeah, it's a fine balance, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's my idea.
David, maybe you know this.
The automation of the network fees, I know it's coming, but do you have an idea of when that might hit, that might start actively?
No, I don't know. We've been so busy with the SDK recently and building the new front end that we haven't worked on that. So I don't think we've made a lot of progress over the last... couple of weeks at least.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. You guys have been really busy. But I just caution that it still should be up in a priority list.
Indeed, I have heard Jesse talk about it several times. That it's also like a bother for him because he needs to be the one that like always initiates then the new cycle, and like he's a weak point in the chain of events that need to happen for the new cycle to start. And he also, yeah, he's expressed his concern that, like, he wants it to be more automated and done in a more decentralized manner.
Mm-hmm. Well, alleviate a lot of stress for a lot of people. So, yeah, the less the team has to do when it comes to backtracking or snapshot accounting or whatever, right?
And then also people will be happier, I think, because they'll see it more regularly come in and they're not like, well, we haven't got rewards for so much time now.
Yeah.
It's my money and I want it now.
Veruca, oh, sweetheart, darling. Okay.
Hey, Rishon, I know, I'm just poking. Rishon, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Alright, so crowdsourcing, how is that beneficial for insurance companies? Now, keep in mind, traditional insurance companies and up-and-coming decentralized insurance companies that are going to place smart contracts for insurance that are time executed by indexes of natural disaster events on the blockchain.
Simple. Okay, adjusters, insurance companies, large insurance companies, they have their adjusters that go out, you know, in survey, car damage, property damage, yep. Everything. So much of that is done, captured by satellite imagery, and we've already worked on Effect Force with, you know, noting that. A company that I did a lot of work for in a crowdsourced manner, Travelers Insurance, they use crowdsourcing to have people draw roof lines, you know, line out the peaks and things, and then they also have them look at roofs and pick the percentage of shingles that are missing. Holes, you know, they rate them, you know, the level of damage with holes, so that's always used. All kinds of things. The insurance company really relies on a lot of manual tedious stuff, and they're all trying to get the bottom line, you know, to stretch their bottom line. And with so many natural disasters are just increasing at an exponential rate. So, you know, there's so many more claims and things like that. That doesn't exist. No, I'm kidding. But they're really trying to embrace technology as fast as they can. And crowdsourcing is a way for them to do it faster, cheaper, and more accurately. So that's a big thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. That's kind of what I was assuming, you know. But
and
I
even
wasn't
and even in their
sure.
claims department too, you know, not everybody still can use digital devices. So you still have a lot of rural areas in the United States where, you know, people sign documents, fill out forms, you know, by hand or whatever. Okay. That all needs digitized. Yeah. So all that can be done too.
Okay. Good to know. Yes. I'll probably have some more questions for you too.
Down to even reviews, down to even customer service reviews and complaints, you know, all of their customer service stuff, you know, is handled. All their chatbot training, you know, everything. There's not one area of the insurance industry that isn't touched by AI and humans that can't have something made with crowdsourcing.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. That'll be $5, please.
Yes, ma'am.
But speaking of automation, Bree, you touched on that with Jesse and David, you did too with the cycles and whatnot. Relieving stress on people and automation. And when you mix them together, good things can happen. So I wanted to show everybody and debut something I've been working on. I talked to Bree about it initially a few weeks ago. After a call, and through all this craziness, I was able to work on a solution and create it, and Bree's seen it before. David's helped me with it the last couple days, and Jesse's aware about this too. I've created something I would like us to start using, and it's to automate the agenda in a decentralized manner for all of us in the DAO. So I've created, I'm going to link in the DAO Weekly Call channel here. I'm gonna add some links. So I created a form, and here's the form. It's a Google form. It's on our drive for the DAO and some of the public stuff with the Effect Network. And it's a form that people can put what they want to have in the agenda to be talked about during the DAO calls. And then you pick your category.
I had a practice with it last night. It seemed to work quite well.
Good.
I have a few questions about it, but maybe my questions will be answered as another week comes up. I'm like, how are the dates going to change? How do we add the notes to this?
Well, let me get through debuting it real quick, and then we'll do some brainstorming and stuff, because I really value everyone's feedback, because this is made for all of us to use, and so I want all of us to be like happy with it, because I think it'll make things better. So one big point I want to make is that you have to use your Google account to fill out the form, but it is not recorded. I will share, you know what? I can share my screen in here, can't I? Okay, I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see. Where is it? Oh, no, I can't, because we switched to the Change channel. Well, anyway, the Gmail address and any name info, it is not tracked at all. So no one has to worry about privacy. That Google form will populate into a spreadsheet I made. And I'm going to share the link to the spreadsheet. And it does it automatically in like real time. Okay, there's the link to the spreadsheet. Up, I see Breeze in there. So this spreadsheet, it is the new agenda, and it's live. Anytime someone makes a entry on the Google form, it will go right to this spreadsheet. We can always just share the link to this spreadsheet. It's completely public for everyone to view. And there's a link to the Google form right on the spreadsheet in the top right corner. Now, it will timestamp. All this is the only thing it records. Is the timestamp of when it was submitted, what was put in by the person that they wanted discussed, and the category they chose. That is it. So I put a little note. I did a test one yesterday. I put a little note, you know, that says, leave your Discord name if you want members to see this. I'm expecting spam. If I delete spam, everyone can see the changes that have been made to this form or this spreadsheet. That's all public and viewable, so all of us will know who did a change to it or what. Some people may see me take some lines out because there'll be some, you know, people might want to test it out. Hey, this is a test or whatever, you know. I'll let it go for a little bit and then I'll delete the test. But all of those deletions will be able to be viewable for everyone, so it's completely transparent. And then when it comes time to have the call, any one of us can go to File, download it as a PDF, and we can, you know, hide the grid lines, whatever, and it will just have everything for the agenda. Now, Bree had a question about can we import, you know, what proposals are live and whatnot. This isn't set up to sync to an external website. It's just an entire Google product. So we can fill out the Google form and put, you know, the proposal name and details about it and the link to it, and then like pick current proposal. Like Bree did one today, where she put discuss the latest proposal. And she picked current proposal as the category. So, I mean, that's one way we can do it right now. It's not automated. We can try to automate it something in the future. But then on the next tab in the sheet, it just says previous agenda items. where we can list everything that we had on the agenda from the call, and then we can put notes on the other side of like what was discussed about it. This isn't completely perfect. I like it. I tried all kinds of different ways for automation, and this was the thing I came up with that works, that's completely transparent, that's sort of decentralized in as far as anyone could add stuff to the agenda, and anyone can see the agenda live at all times and see revisions and changes that have been made and edits. So, yeah. Feedback, please. I'm going to mute myself.
Give some feedback, and then I've got to go. I have to leave to go to the airport in about 10 minutes. I really like the idea of everyone being able to contribute. So the next time I say to somebody, ask them yourself, they can do that quite easily by just adding the item to the agenda. So that makes me really happy. I still... Once everything's done, it still needs to go into Gitbook, as that's our chosen means of archiving our information. So we'll see how it ends up working, but I'm pretty sure Gitbook now allows you to upload a PDF, so it should work out just fine. Yeah, the call recordings, we can put a direct link into those. So there's still, I guess what I'm getting at, there's still a little bit of work that needs to be done by a person that isn't just part of the automation of putting in your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's some setup work and some finalizing work that needs to be done. So I'm happy staying on the finalizing if Rochelle's happy on the setup.
Absolutely.
The agenda itself can be populated by everybody.
Yeah, I like that. I can always have the stuff set up. You can do the finalization, and yeah. There's a lot less steps we each have to do using this.
Yeah. As long as you do the recordings, I'm not reliable enough with my tech stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. The recordings, I think, are a staple.
I've been trying to get the recordings into a YouTube video, and I'm trying to use freeware because I'm cheap. I don't like to spend money, especially when I'm just trying to play around and figure things out. But oh my gosh, the last time I tried to convert a file from the MP3 to the YouTube file, so I could get, this is so I can get the automatic English translation transcriptions. Otherwise, I don't think I really need to do it. Oh, and Gitbook likes YouTube, but Gitbook doesn't seem to like MP3s.
Okay.
YouTube. I don't know what I just said there.
I'll start working on
it. It took
on that.
21 hours for my stupid laptop and that program, but I think it's because it's trying to make me pay. If I paid, it probably would take like 5 minutes. Anyway,
I'll work on that part of the automation next.
I think we're going to have a few quirky stuff along the way that figure out, and I think it'll be fun.
Cool. I'll work on the video automation and YouTube stuff here next for it.
And I don't mind manually putting in the proposal information into the agenda. Okay, go ahead. Was that Larry? I'm muting.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I was having some issues there. I don't even remember what I was going to say now, but okay.
You have the floor now.
Oh, I know. I don't remember what I was going to say, though. That's...
Okay.
I also applaud this. Yeah, I think it's a really good idea to see that other people can get involved in this as well, and like that you don't have to take the initiative on this every time, Bree. So hopefully it also alleviates some of the labor that's involved in prepping for this every week.
Yeah, my biggest thing is still getting a written transcript. I'm still struggling with that. I looked at having the force create. It was going to cost like 100 and something, because we don't have like 15-minute videos. We have hour and a half to do, right? So and if I could get a good English auto, then and Rochelle showed me how to do a little bit script editing, then after that it would be easier for me to do my own editing. I might have to suck it up and just pay for an account that can translate those MP3s to YouTube videos easier. Anyway, I'm figuring it out. I'm getting old. All this new tech is getting hard to learn. I mean, I remember the struggle of learning Photoshop before it became an online subscription, you know? I'm doing okay, I think. Anyway, I've really got to go. My mom and my daughter are coming to join me for 2 weeks, and if I'm late at the airport, they will not be happy. So have a good week, everyone.
Come on, say hi.
Have a good week.
Will do.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.
Was there anything else that anybody wanted to talk about or discuss?
No.
I think that was the last agenda point, right?
I think so. Yeah. I have a proposal that I just put in draft. I have a day or so before the cycle starts, so I'll make sure mine's live before then. But yeah, it's not gonna ask for EFX or anything. Maybe just 100 for posting it, so no one has to worry about a reward drain.
Yeah. No, like, I'm excited to see it and see the reaction of the community to it.
Cool. Okay. Well, everybody, look at those links. See what you think about the agenda. And anyone listening in later during this replay. Bree and I were hoping that we debut it now after this meeting, and then maybe we can use it next week's call. So the links are listed. I'll put more of a post about it and an explainer about it in our DAO area of Discord. But yeah, that's it for me with that.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Pleasure being
here. Thank you, man. Thanks for the agenda form. I'm really excited to see how people are going to use that as well.
I hope so. Oh, yeah. More interaction in the DAO. That's what we want. And I figured this was a good step.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, well, everybody have a good week.
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.
Same to you.
See you in the morning, David.